what's your connection to hockey? What's your interest in the game?
See, I've been covering hockey for the last 10 years now, and been in the thick and thin of hockey, covering tournaments, not just in India, but globally as well. The last tournament I covered was the London Hockey World League semi-finals. I was there. So, and all the drama that happened, it happened all, I was in the thick of it, so I know quite a bit about it. And that's my connection with hockey, in the sense that I played hockey in at the school level as well. So that's how the crush developed. For a brief moment, it shifted to cricket for obvious reasons. You can't be spared by cricket when you're in India. But yeah, I managed to sail through and kept my crush going for hockey, and now I am largely reporting on hockey, but I can't say exclusively on hockey, but you can say that 70% of my work is hockey.
It would be very, very hard to balance out the views of all of the state associations involved in Hockey India. Boy, oh boy, you know, there's a lot of people that want to have their say at the table, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot of them. Not many of them get heard, that's one point.
So is that based on past success? Is it based on the amount of players that you provide for the international teams?
So it's basically because the federation is ruled by or governed by one man than a group of men. That's basically the reason.
Is that transferred up to higher levels in hockey as well, Jazz?
It wouldn't be Dr. Cuckoo, would it?
No, what I can say is that since Dr. Batra has become the president, things are not going really well for India, unfortunately, and we didn't see that happen.
And we can't understand it. It just seems to be a very, very strange turn.
Very strange, because Mr. Batra, who had such a good relation with Negre and FIH and all that, and having seen that and having seen that grow, and FIH giving FIH recognized event to India every year since 2012,
yeah,
it's very strange to see this happening, because we only saw that the relation is only going to get strengthened with Mr. Batra at the helm.
Yeah.
But instead it's going the other way around, exactly opposite. We are not part of the Hockey Pro League. Then there was that incident in London. And then there was a complaint against Pakistan and all that. Nothing positive. Everything was downslide and negative.
Yes, yeah. But there didn't seem to be any major statements coming out of Hockey India. There was lots of unnamed parties commenting on it, but
you got to understand that you have to give Dr. Batra credit also. Are we recording, by the way?
It's on, but we don't need to use any of this.
No, that's okay. No, I'm not saying anything that I don't want to use, but okay, it's okay. Okay. I just wanted to know. Okay. We have to give Dr. Batra credit also. Since 2010, when he became the Hockey India secretary, Indian hockey has only gone up. I know the performances have been inconsistent. We have had five foreign coaches coming and going, and all that happening. But we have to give Dr. Batra credit that he made Hockey India one of the most professional run government organizations or government recognized federations in India. Not many of the federations who work under the government of India are functioning as well as Hockey India, and that's because how Dr. Batra made it professional, bringing in a CEO and a lot of other staff that's taking care of every minute details. So that credit has to go to Dr. Batra, I guess.
So what's the background of Dr. Batra? Because he's, like you've just said, he's obviously a very good organizer. So does he have a commercial background?
He's a very good administrator as well. He's a lawyer by profession, so right. He knows inside out of how things should work and should not work, and he's been doing according to that. But I've somewhere down the line, I feel that the delegation of responsibility could have been a bit more than it is. It should have trickled down, the responsibilities should have trickled down to a number of people, then rather limiting it to one or two or three.
Is this apparent stunting of India's hockey growth, Jazz, directly linked to Dr. Batra moving to the FIH? Is it almost as if from that moment things changed?
No. That's not right. It's part of it, but it's not entirely, because Dr. Batra is not playing on the field. So what happens on the field, that's limited to the 11 players who are on it, and the others who are part of the squad, plus the coaches and the other background staff. So that's their responsibility. Dr. Batra can't control things that happen on the field. So to say that India have lost to Malaysia of late, and Canada also, and they aren't playing as well as they were, say, last year, it won't be right to say that Dr. Batra's move to FIH is responsible for that. In fact, it has nothing to do with what's happening on the field. Everything that India is doing and everything that India is achieving is because of the players at the end of the road. It has to be because of the players.
But it's interesting, because John and I were talking the other day about lots of things, but with regard to those performances from the Indian side in London. Now, of course, they had a direct route through to the final anyway. And we started this conversation because there were some issues, some comments made on Twitter about, well, why do India get 220 points automatically, even though they finished 12th effectively within the semi-final system on the Hockey World League? Mm-hmm. But obviously they have to get the 220 points because they're directly through to the final. Now, as a playing group, that has to affect your mentality, because it's not really live or die on that game. You're not in or out on the basis of any given game in that tournament, because you're already there. You're qualified.
Yeah, it's always there at the back of the mind. And at some point on the field, it was reflecting as well, because some of the moves or some of the goals, if you want to take it to that much detail, were not getting converted as they should have. And at one point also, Oltmans made a comment in London also that the attitude of some of the players, not attitude, but I'm saying the level at which they should have been playing was exactly not there. So he did not name any players, but it was evident at times that the team had at the back of its mind at some point, maybe. And he also said that some, to quote him exactly, somewhere deep down in your heart, you know that you are already there. He said it there. So it's quite evident. And it's actually sad for a coach to be saying that, to be very honest.
Yeah.
A coach should not be saying that, because somewhere or the other, it will go down to the players. They will read those comments, some of them may get affected by it. But and it's not right for a coach to be making such comments. And I wrote about it as well.
Do you think the situation with Sardar Singh played any bearing within that?
Should not have, because it's a team sport. There are 18 players part of the squad, and if there's something wrong mentally with one of the players, it does not mean that it should affect equally the other 17.
Even with somebody as iconic as Sardar?
Even if, because to be very honest, Sardar is not the same player he used to be 2-3 years ago. So, him not being part, he, and to be, to just put it in factual ways, last year when we won the 2016 Champions Trophy silver, our best finish in Champions Trophy, Sardar was not part of the team.
Yeah.
So he's not the same player that he used to be. I don't believe that him being part of a controversy or going for police summons, as the case was, should affect the other 17 players. And if you ask the players, nobody will admit or say that it affected them. It should not, because on the field, they are not carrying that news with them.
A good point, Jazz. Were you surprised by the events of London as they unfolded, or do you think that there'd been things brewing for a little while, and this is just the way that it erupted?
To be very honest, Dr. Bhutra is a very intelligent man. I respect him for a lot of things because he has done a lot for hockey. The players, I come from a time when players didn't used to earn much and were mulling about their careers in hockey, whether staying in hockey or not. And now, with the coming of Hockey India League, I want to mention a statement by Jamie Dwyer, which he made in 2013, I guess, that never before playing a 1 month of hockey, he has earned this much money. So that puts things into perspective as far as hockey players are concerned. They were earning a lot because of Hockey India League, which was a brainchild of Dr. Bhutra. So you have to give him credit there. But where he, I think, slipped a little was making that comment on Facebook, yeah, where he tried to, he alleged that some of the politicians, Pakistan origin politicians, were behind that police complaint. I think as FIH president, he could have refrained from that. I did not expect Dr. Bhutra to be doing that, but he's very upfront also in that way. So he must have weighed his options before doing that. But I think that could have been avoided, especially because he was in the chair on FIH.
It's interesting you say he'd weighed his options up there, so it's not a spur of the moment thing. It would have been considered the decision to
because he's a very intelligent man.
Yeah,
he has very sound head on his shoulders. So I don't think that it was a spur of the moment or just happened by instinct. He must have had his reasons for doing it.
Jazz, I don't want to get into the whole geopolitical thing, but what would you describe the relationship between Pakistan hockey and Indian hockey as, especially in the light of comments like these?
See, it's a more hate-hate relationship than love-hate relationship. Because things have never been on a very constructive or a very friendly table as far as India and Pakistan are concerned. And it only becomes more fragile and more more fragile and very more brittle when incidents like soldiers being martyred on the LOC line of control happens, and then when there is a chance for to show friendliness, players from Pakistan come to Bhubaneswar and make those lewd gestures that they did, and it all spoiled everything. I think that incident, and Dr. Bhutra is very right in being very against Pakistan after that, because during that tournament, if Pakistan had not done that, it could have improved the relations. I'm not taking into consideration what happens on the LOC between the two armed forces.
Yeah, keep it on the sporting level.
Yeah, because of course that is not acceptable, but that's not something that we can make comments on. We can only keep it on sport. So, but Dr. Bhutra was very right in feeling offensive, as did every Indian who was there or who was watching that match, what Pakistan players did. I was sitting in the media enclosure during that tournament. They made such lewd gestures, such obscene gestures towards the media and a section of the crowd, taking off their shirts, which was entirely not expected. It was not warranted, and it should not have happened.
So, so could you see any motivation on their part for doing that?
See, whatever motivation that have, I don't know the inside story about it. Of course, animosity is always there, but you have to control your horses when you are playing for your country, you are representing your country, you are as an ambassador of your country in another country, you have to behave accordingly. I'm sure words must have been exchanged on the field, but what happens on the field or what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. It doesn't come out of there. So that's where Pakistan were found guilty, and I was also very surprised of a very lenient view taken by FIH of that tournament, because in the pictures, if you see, we go back and see the pictures, there were at least 7-8 players who were seen making those gestures, but only 2 or 3 of them were reprimanded or suspended for a match, which did not actually affect Pakistan much. So, I completely support Dr. Batra on taking a very strong view of that, and he's still very adamant that Pakistan should write an apology on that incident. Only then things can be back on track.
We'll move on a little bit. I read your piece on Hockey Village India and with regard to grassroots hockey.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
Tell us about the Hockey Village India project and some of the stumbling blocks that it's come across, and what your thoughts are on that and grassroots development in India.
See, Hockey Village India is a 7-year-old project which is going on in India by a former hockey player, German hockey player, Andrea Thamschen. She started a foundation, I suppose, in Germany, got it registered there, and then opened an NGO in Rajasthan in the same name in 2011, I guess. So she set up initially at a village called Gar Himmat Singh, and then after some funding issues in terms of fudging and all, she had to move out from there and move to another village called Jatwara. But there also she got duped in a land purchase deal, in the end of which she had to pay extra to get the land back in her name, and finally decided, when the villagers also started to coo against her on being sweet-talked by the by one of the school owners there, she decided to move out, and I suppose she is already in Coorg now trying to find something that she can set up there. So the sad part, see, these things keep happening in India. These kind of complaints keep coming in. People try to benefit themselves by their vested interests. I suppose that's what happened with Andrea. But the thing is that the understanding of the people at the micro level in India as regards to sport is nothing to shout about, and grassroots sports in India, not just hockey, I'm not just talking about hockey, but any other sport, it won't improve unless the people understand that sport is part of the culture. It's not just education. Every child can't be a scholar. A child has to have a certain degree of other skills which he might be good in, and that could be sports. So unless he's given that option, you can't know. So that kind of awareness is not there in India, which is what I think hit Andrea's project, along with some of the bad influences that Hockey Village India had during its stay in Rajasthan. So that all of these combined, and at the end of it, her effort of 7 years at a particular place got wasted. And I think in India the problem is that children are introduced to sport saying that you have to play for India.
Yeah.
That's not the correct approach. Not every kid can play for India. Sport has to be introduced as something that's about your well-being. And in the course of time, it can become a career option. That's the way to introduce it, that it's for your well-being, for your health, and for your holistic growth. But that's not how it is introduced in India. In India, it is introduced that you will play for India if you play this. So that's how the child's interest is developed. Okay. Nowadays, the craze in India among some of the parents I know who send their kids for cricket coaching is that IPL, you will play the IPL.
That's so annoying too, isn't it?
That's annoying, and that's very disturbing. So is the kid playing cricket with a focus already on IPL, which is, I think, 15 years away? That's not how he will learn.
Well, what are the sports programs like in schools?
See, in schools, there are some schools which run very good sports programs, but at the end of the day, it comes down to coaching. The coaching system in India needs an overhaul. It needs an overhaul in terms of approach, in terms of teaching material, in terms of education, higher education from abroad, which one of the institutes called Punjab Institute of Sports is doing. It has a tie-up with Victoria University in Australia, where there are coaches who are coming in here to conduct workshops, to tell the coaches what is the advanced way of coaching or what is the correct way, the scientific way and all that. They're doing it, but it needs to happen at a national level, not just state level.
But you talk about the money generation that can come out of Hockey India, whether it, you know, through Hockey India League, for example. Is any of that cash going into grassroots programs?
Of course it does. Of course. In fact, in case of Andhra only, Hockey Village India received ₹2 lakh of aid from Hockey India for its project. So it's not that it's not going in. It does go. But somewhere down the line, the corruption level is such at times with certain people that it does not, the whole amount does not reach where it has to reach, or at some point it is not used the way it should be used, like in terms of equipment or coaching or anything. Substandard things are bought or anything like that. That those things also keep happening. But the coaching system is, I think, the core issue. Unless that improves, we won't be able to produce Olympic medalists.
Jazz, a lot of the conversation around Indian hockey is always about the elite level. Is that the case within the country as well? Is there enough discussion amongst hockey people about what goes on at the lower levels?
See, among hockey people, yes. Among those who are in the thick of things, who love hockey, who are either reporting on it or playing or part of coaching or anything, they do discuss every level. But that's not how it will grow. That's a stagnation point for me. If it has to grow, it has to be discussed by everybody who is interested in sport, not just people who are interested in hockey or who are working around hockey. So in that way, if you want to give it a rating on 10, I think it will be only 5 or 4, just because people involved with hockey are only talking about it, not the other. The hockey nationals or any other sport nationals that happen, they don't get as much coverage or leverage as they should. In fact, the Ranji Trophy, which is the domestic tournament, cricket tournament in India, is very widely covered. It's even reported live, tweets and all that, it happens. But you don't see it happening with any other sport, including hockey.
Do you get much cut through in India? I mean, I know people talk about, oh, India's got a huge population, they help support hockey, they're the gold mine. But at 1.2 billion people, how do you get cut through as a sport?
See, for that you have to reach out to small centers, which is again where I would like to credit Dr. Batra. He took hockey to Ranchi, Bhubaneswar, small centers where they had never seen an international match. I remember an incident in Bhubaneswar where for the first time in my whole career I'm covering hockey, I saw at least a 1 kilometer long queue for tickets.
Wow.
For the India-Pakistan game. 1 kilometer long queue. It was like a snake going all across the road.
Wow. Oh, actually.
And that will happen only in small centers. Lucknow saw good crowds during the Junior World Cup. Bhubaneswar saw amazing packed houses during the Champions Trophy in 2014. And then here in Ranchi and other small centers in Hockey India League, they saw good turnouts. So to make a cut through, you have to reach to the smaller centers where people don't get much of international or quality hockey.
So that's that's people watching the game live. What's the accessibility from them watching it on TV or online?
See, that's again, that's one issue that needs to be addressed by FIH, yeah. Not Hockey India. Because India is going on a European tour. They have a match today, I guess, against
Belgium?
Netherlands
today, is it?
No, I think Belgium. Belgium. They have a match against Belgium today. But there is no streaming or no live broadcast, nothing happening. Oh. Nobody is aware at least as of now, even if it's there.
Yeah.
So that's also international hockey.
Yeah, look, this is one of our big bugbears. We talk about it again in the podcast this week. It's basically every week.
This is also international hockey. And unless people get to see it on a regular basis across nations, I'm not just talking about India, across nations, how will you cut through or how will you reach people?
Yeah. Yeah, we struggled with the with Australia playing in the with the men playing in the recent Hockey World League semi-finals. We managed to get some of the games streamed live. I'm sorry, not streamed live, on Fox Sports Live, so that's pay-per-view.
Okay.
And then the semi-finals and the final. And so we didn't get to watch any of the games, any of the teams playing.
None of the women's.
Because Fox Sports have got the deal through Star Sports to publish the product, and they choose not to. We've been told that in a meeting with the guy that controls the schedules for Fox Sports, he's got no interest in showing any of the other hockey unless he has to, until he gets 300 complaints.
Oh God!
And that's the only way that they'll stream it, is if they get the complaints to do it. Sorry, not even stream it, just to broadcast it. There's no streaming option. Now, I know in some countries, in the UK, BT Sport seems to be very good with it. Some of the operators in Belgium and the Netherlands seem to be very good with it, and you can go back and watch highlights and watch any game that you want to with their online platform. But it's rare. It's very, very rare. And
EHL does it really well, I guess.
Yes. EHL are good. Pan Am seems to be very good at the moment. I don't know if you've seen any of the Pan Am Cups that are going on in Lancaster in the US.
No, unfortunately, I haven't.
So that's all streaming live through the US field hockey website. And they recognise that it's an important thing. But, we totally agree. It's a joke. And I'd love to even see some of the Gold Cup games that are going on there for you at the moment. They've just finished up. There's got to be some good hockey to watch.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest tournaments that we have, and hardly anybody knows that it's going on. So that's very sad.
Jazz, where do you see, in the light of India pulling out of the Pro League, where do you see them looking to in the future?
See, the official reason, not official I would say, but the reason that came out of some of the Hockey India sources was that the reason for the pullout was that it would be difficult for the women's team to qualify for the Olympics through the Pro League, and they have a better chance through the Hockey World League. And since they could not pull out one team, they had to pull out both teams, which I think is a ridiculous excuse. I don't buy this.
Yeah, we don't understand that either.
I don't buy it at all.
Especially when you're considering there's other nations that only have a team of one gender play.
USA.
And plus, what are you going to gain from it? I don't see any gains from it. You're only going to lose your match time, because from January to June, teams will be busy on home and away basis. Even if on weekends, they will be busy. Yeah. So it's to stuff in matches between that is almost close to impossible. So you're losing out of 6 months of international hockey, and then you try to cover it in the next 6 months, which is again impossible. So as far as gains are concerned, I don't see any gain from it. India is only going to lose from it. And I don't know if there is any clause or possibility to get back into the Pro League, because they have already announced replacements. So if that cannot happen, then it's even more unfortunate.
We were quite surprised at how swiftly FIH accepted the decision.
Yeah, that everybody was talking about it, that within 24 hours it was accepted.
Yeah.
Which is again very, very fishy.
Yeah, well, it says to me that there's other conversations that have gone on behind the scenes, and you know, there was something expected.
I must have, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm not in the know about any such thing that happened. But to take a decision, such a big decision, because India is the money generator, and if India is not in a global FIS tournament that has all other countries, top nine countries, so in that case, it's very difficult for it to take off. So in that case, I was very surprised for the decision being accepted, or the Hockey India's request being accepted within 24 hours.
Yeah, but we also know it's not the top nine countries in either men's or women's, is it?
Yeah, it's not in the top nine countries, because it happens on a different in a different scenario. So I don't know how we are going to manage the 6 months in January 2000, from January 2019 onwards, if Hockey Pro League kicks off, because I sincerely don't see it becoming a viable product without India.
Well, that's an interesting comment. I mean, I can't say I'm a big fan of the whole Hockey Pro League concept. I just question whether we need another international nation-based tournament. But the powers that be are going with it, so we've sort of got to go along with it as much as we can.
Yeah, because if it's happening, then we have to just go with it. But it will be sad if it happens without India, because I wanted to touch hockey somewhere down the line, FIH also has to look at how frequently can they change rules of the game.
Oh yes. Thank you, Jazz.
Or you want to make it more frequent?
No. how many times have you seen football changing its rules?
Yeah,
the last 10 years, tell me, Mark, it's not even comparable.
Although they do want to take something from us with the green card situation.
I'm totally at sea with what's happening with the technical committee or the advisory committee. Why they come up with such ridiculous rules let it not be ridiculous, but frequent. And if this rule that one field goal is counted as two comes into effect for international games, I will commit a suicide.
Jazz, I agree with you 100%. In fact, we wrote there's a piece on our website about what we think of that two-goal rule, and it's a complete joke.
It's a joke. People in the stands don't understand what the score is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have been sitting in the stands just to get a pulse of the spectators, what they feel of that rule in the Hockey India League. Some of them were talking, why is it showing 2-0 when only one goal has been scored?
I think, I don't, the only reason I've ever thought about why we're constantly looking for innovation, well, one is the safety aspect. But the safety aspect only comes up a year after an introduction of a rule which makes things slightly more unsafe than they were the year before. But there's this drive to keep fresh for the Olympics. So we've got to keep doing something different, something new.
I think the basis or the reason behind this cagey approach towards the game is because it has already been on the chopping list of IOC once.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So fearing that it might come back on that list, they are trying to make innovations which make game interesting for viewers.
Now I remember reading something about 4 or 5 years ago, Jazz, about maybe 4 years ago, about some funding coming into Indian hockey for, I don't know, 35, 40, 6-a-side or 7-a-side pitches, artificial turf pitches going down all over the country. Now, I don't know if that happened, but we've also seen the move towards hockey fives at the Youth Olympic Games, and there seems to be a few more hockey fives tournaments happening around and about. Is there anything happening that way in India? And you know, undoubtedly, I think that's the way the Olympics is going to go with it.
Talking, I would like to comment on a lighter note for this. Talking about the turf pitches, Andrea exported one from Germany, a second-hand turf which she wanted to lay in Rajasthan.
Okay.
And now it is being used as carpet by the villagers. they cut pieces from that unlaid track, unlaid turf, which was lying in one of the stores, and are using it as carpets at home.
I hope they washed it first, because you can get some terrible diseases off a dirty hockey pitch.
My God, matlab, people don't give. Don't give a shit about anything that somebody is putting in such a huge effort to just give their kids something that they look up to beyond studies or along with studies. They just don't give it a shit. It's so sad. If that keeps happening, that's the attitude of, because it has to be a two-way traffic. Not just the organizers or the government or the administrators can promote grassroots sports. Until unless the parents are sending their kids to the grounds, what will be the use of that as well? That will be waste of money once again.
That's a great point, Jazz. That's a really good point. You got one? I did have a question. I've forgotten what I was going to ask you now, Jazz.
Sure.
The one thing we haven't covered so far is the pullout, or sorry, the postponement of Hockey India League.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
See, it's unfortunate that it's not happening, because a lot of players' livelihood depends on it. Those players I'm talking about who are uncapped, who are not playing international hockey. Their livelihood depends on Hockey India League, because as much they earn from that, they don't earn possibly, most of them don't earn the whole year. So their livelihood depends on that. On that point, it is unfortunate. But from what has been declared that it will come back in 2019, I think is a very good declaration in terms of statements and all. I don't know what's the actual reason behind it is, but in terms of statements, I think it's a very good statement. Why? Because one, Hockey India League hasn't shut down. Two, none of the franchises have opted out. So on that count, I think it's a very encouraging move in terms of, even if some of the franchises were interested in opting out or exiting the league, by doing this, by postponing the league for a year, the Hockey India gave those indecisive teams 2 years of time to think again.
So two years of time to get profitable again, so they can afford to.
Yeah, to think again, or to think ways of becoming viable, or find sponsors, or anything like that. They got 2 years of time, which is, I think, a good time to at least make up your mind that whether you want to do it or not, rather than just 2 weeks that Delhi Wave Riders got to decide.
Jazz.
So, sorry. Yeah.
I was just going to ask, do you think, is there one big lesson that they can learn from what's happened in the past and to take forward with them into the regenerated league?
See, I think in terms of buyers who should be owning a team and all that, it's okay. It's, you know, you and I know that it, at the end of the story, it's about money. Anybody who pumps in money becomes an owner. That's correct. But I think owners should also be very supportive about sport on the whole, not just about their money. Like, it's very unfortunate, or it's ironical, that JSW Sports, which had bought the Bengaluru franchise, which had to make its debut next year, is one of the most prominent faces in India who supports athletes, sports people, and sports on the whole. They sponsor a number of athletes who are preparing for Olympics and all that. Imagine if that franchise or those owners would have come on board of Hockey India League. I think the approach could have been different. The other franchises could have learned from them. It's only unfortunate that though that JSW couldn't even take off. So in on that count, I think the owners or the employers matter as much as the sponsors and the administrators. If you are not keen to run a league, because we all understand that any such franchise is an ambitious project, especially in hockey, which does not have enough money. It will be an ambitious project and it might take you around 6, 7, 8 years to even break even. So in that case, I think the franchises also have to be very careful about deciding whether they want to take that plunge or not. And if they want to take it, they have to stick by it for at least, I think, if not more than 10 years.
Yeah, I don't think none of the sponsors or the owners of the franchises are ever going to go into it to make money from that entity, are they? It's a wider part of their wider marketing strategy.
Right. They brand their own products. Through it, they do promotions, branding through Hockey India League, through their teams, through their jerseys and all that. They do that, and they have got some leverage in terms of their products.
Yeah.
But in terms of making money out of the franchise, I think that's a very, very, very long-term goal.
Well, here's something for you. I've tried for 3 years looking online to buy a JP Punjab Warriors jersey.
Okay.
And it's not been possible.
You're talking about?
Yeah, jersey, yeah. So I could have got one free out of somebody who played for them, but I actually wanted to buy one 3 years ago and 2 years ago and last year with it. And I'm being sincere with you, Jazz. And you can find a little bit from Uttar Pradesh Wizards, Delhi Wave Riders, Ranchi Rhinos on Facebook. There's a bit of... But for their websites... And for them actually trying to monetize the business, it seems inconsequential. It's not part of what they're doing. So I think some of the marketing was certainly lacking. Now I don't know what the case was at home. Could you walk into a local sports store and go and buy a Hockey India League team shirt?
Not at every sports outlet, but at some during the league, yes, you can. But it's again not something very easily available. You have to go to some select stores and buy it. You can't buy it online because they're not marketing their or monetizing, as you say, their products as good as well as they should have. One thing that makes Kalinga Lancers and Dabang Mumbai stand out is, one, Dabang Mumbai have done a very good promotional thing with their team, especially in the last season, which got them a lot of leverage, and quite a few people came to watch the game at the stadium as well. So in terms of monetizing and trying to be more vibrant and more visible, Dabang Mumbai has done a great job, and I'm sure they are going to reap benefits of it if Hockey India League continues. And the second is Kalinga Lancers, and they are owned by PSU. PSU is a public service undertaking, which is run by the government, which not run by the government, but has some stake. So they have been owned by one of that. So in that terms, they are being taken care of by the state government, which helps in minimizing those break-even issues and all that, because PSUs don't consider that as the benchmark, so they have other benchmarks as well.
Yeah.
So on those two counts, these two teams are safe and in very good hands, I suppose. The most dicey ones are JP Punjab Warriors, who looked very disinterested in last season. I could hear just one radio advertisement. And beyond that, there was no advertisements in Chandigarh, Mohali or other adjacent areas. Nothing happening, no promotional activity, nothing to get people in the ground, nothing of that sort.
I also heard that the travel standards, accommodation standards and everything else along kind of fell by the wayside last year for them as well.
No, in terms of, I think that's not correct. In accommodation standards, they were staying in five-star hotels.
Oh,
I
really?
Went
right,
and
okay.
met them. I attended a few press conferences also. So I don't think travel and anything was, travel or accommodation or anything was degraded or downgraded. So I don't think that's correct. They stayed in decent accommodation.
So the other big question I've got is with regard to Hockey India League and the future of it. Is there potential for a Women's Hockey India League to mirror the support and the improvement that's happened with the men's game? Can that happen with the women's game, and would there be a market for it in India?
One word, no.
Okay, and next question.
No, not at all. At present, simply no.
Is that a mark of how the women's game is thought of in India, or is that a purely financial thing?
No, I think... it's being more taken care of now and more followed now than previously, especially after they claimed bronze in the few years back, I guess. I don't remember the year when they got bronze in the World Cup. So after that, it got a fair bit of attention. But still, it's way, way off as far as hockey is concerned in India, and not getting as much attention as the men's game does. And to be very honest, if we are, say, 5 years behind the Europeans and the Australian in terms of men's game, then I think we are at least 25 years behind in women's game.
Is there any sport in India where the women's game has parity or greater profile than the men's game?
Greater than the men's game?
Yeah, parity or greater?
If you consider off late, then of course there has been parity in cricket.
Of course, in the recent successes.
Recently our women finished runners-up in the World Cup. So
they were robbed, Jazz.
Hello?
They were robbed.
Yeah, they were not beaten, they were robbed. So they were almost winning it until the fourth wicket fell. So that's okay. On that count, there have been voices made about a women's IPL, so as to say. However, there have been voices for and against it, that it might be a bit too early or still not viable or things like that. But at least people are talking about the women's IPL after our women finished runners-up in the World Cup.
Jazz, we'll let you go in a second, but I did have one more question for you. How's the weather there in Delhi? Because it sounds like you've got a bit of rain at the moment.
See, the weather has been kind over the last 4 or 5 days. It has rained a bit in the last 4 or 5 days, but the problem is that after rain, if you take your car out, then you are in a mess because to travel 5 kilometers, you might have to spend 1 hour. So in that case, it's not good. But the weather is not good on the road, but the weather is good in the skies.
we're the opposite at the moment. It's absolutely bucketing down here in Perth at the moment. We've got 5 weeks of winter happening at the moment.
I had plans to come to Perth in 2015 when I came for the Cricket World Cup, but then I figured out the logistics were a bit too much because it's totally in the other corner of Australia. So
we're a long way from anywhere, Jazz.
And we like it that way.